Everybody, let's get started. So today we're doing the topic of mitzvos alav lehanos nitnu, and that comes up in the Masechta Roshana on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. As you've all seen, Amar Rav Yehuda b'shofar shel ola lo yitka, that if you have a shofar of a carbon ola, you're not allowed to be tokea with it on Rosh Hashanah, because it's asur to be nana from kachin. You didn't realize that it was a shofar of a carbon ola. Right? It's just a horn. It doesn't say carbon ola on it. Someone took it off of an animal that's a carbon ola, and gave you this nice looking shofar, and you blow it. So yotzei, because the assumption is that there's me'ila b'shogeg, and through committing the violation, when one is nena from pachim b'shogeg, he violates me'ila. Through the violation of me'ila, the item becomes no longer kachim. So since he violated me'ila, the shofar is now chulin, and therefore he yotzei. The shofar shel shlamim, but if you use the shofar of a carbon shlamim, lo yitzka v'imtaka lo yatza. Even if you did a b'shogeg, you're not yotzei. Now why would there be a chilik between ola and shlamim? My taima, ola bas me'ilahi, because ola is subject to me'ila. So if you use it, what happens if you violate me'ila? What do you have to do? The carbon and Hashem me'ilos. And you pay back a keren v'chomesh. Why are you paying back a keren v'chomesh? Because it's now chulin, so you got to pay back the keren and the chomesh of a penalty. B'kivan d'malba nafkal l'chulin. So you committed me'ila, so now the kedusha of the shofar goes away. You now blew a shofar of chulin, and you yotze yuchiv. Shlamim d'lav ne me'ila ninu, but shlamim, since there's no din of me'ila, because it's kachim kalim and there's no me'ila on kachim kalim, Isuru udrachabu. So there's nisr of getting an off from kachim. Well, nafki l'chulin, so it doesn't go and become chulin, and therefore it's a nisr of shamshus b'kachim. So what? So you violated nisr of using kachim. So why aren't you yotzei the mitzvah of shofar? Why don't you yotzei the mitzvah of shofar if you violated using kachim? Mitzvah b'baveir, right? It's a mitzvah b'baveir. So that's why a person's not going to be yotzei. Says Maravaiter, maskef la rava, emas ma'al. Wait a second. When do you actually violate mi'ila? When is the mi'ila done? Lebasa t'taka. After you already used the shofar. Kika taka, but at the time that you were being tokeya itself, b'yisura taka. You were over in yisur v'shamshus b'kachim in that tokeya, because you still weren't, the shofar had still not become chulin. So it should be a mitzvah b'baveir even by an ola. Right, it's not yet chulin until you've already done the tkiya. So elo amirava echadze lo yatza. It must be you're not yotzi with either one. They're both a mitzvah b'baveira. Hadam echadze echadze yatza. And then he said, no, you're yotzi with both. Both shofar shel ola and shofar shel shlamim, you're yotze, because that's not called that you were nena min hakachim. Why not? Why isn't it called that you're nena min hakachim? Mitzvah slav lehamos nitnu. Because when you do a mitzvah, that's not called getting hana'a. So mitzvah, but it's such a strange way to say it, right? How would you formulate it? I mean, what we're trying to say is that it's not a violation of hana'a when you're doing a mitzvah with an object. That's not called getting hana'a from the object. Mitzvah slavleyanos nitnu seems like it's describing why Hashem gave us mitzvah, not how I relate to a kiyuma mitzvah. I would have said, ein b'kiyum ha-mitzvah din hana'a. That's the way you should say it, no? That in a kiyum ha-mitzvah, there's no hana'a. I'm not getting hana'a when I'm doing a mitzvah. But that's not the way it says it. It starts describing, like, philosophically. Why did God give us mitzvahs? What was the, el tzarech bo sa'adam? I don't know. What's it trying to... Mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. So that's a little bit of an unusual... We're so used to it because it's such a common phrase, because it's such a major sugya, but it's a little bit jarring. Amar Rav Yehuda b'shofar shel avodah zarah liyitka v'mitaka yatza. If you're tokeh with b'shofar shel avodah zarah, you'll say b'shofar shel yirin dachas liyitka v'mitaka lo yatza. My taima, yirin dachas k'tusim mechleshirei. They're both mitzvahs lav lehanos, they're both asabana. B'shofar shel avodah zarah is asabana. B'shofar shel yirin dachas asabana. So using it is not a problem in terms of the kiyum ha-mitzvah, because mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. So why is shofar shel yirin dachas a problem? That's a separate issue. That kitusim mechleshirei, that it's considered as if it doesn't have a shear of a shofar. A shofar needs a shear of a tefach, right? So that you could, when you hold on to it, that you could see it on both sides, that it looks like you see the shofar protruding on both sides in order to be kosher, and this doesn't have a proper shear, and therefore you're not yotzei. This is a famous b'chaim about kitusim mechleshirei when it comes to mechitzos by erevin, where we assume that we don't apply kitusim mechleshirei. Familiar with this b'chaim? I don't want to get too bogged down, but essentially what he says is that when it comes to Erevin, when it comes to Rishus and Shabbos, the din is not that you need a mechitza. The din is that you need a makom that's mukaf. So there's no din of a shir by the mechitza. The din is in the makom. Whereas when it comes to a chefetz shel mitzvah, like a shofar, the din is in the shir. Like a lulav, the shofar, it needs a particular shir. So that's the question, right? Is this a sheer be'etzem? What is it? What does the Ragi Chavar call it? A sheer nekuda or a sheer? I forgot the Ragi Chavar's language. He has a language such a chakira. Is it a sheer of siruf or a sheer nekuda? I don't remember the language. But the point is it a sheer of just like practicality or is it be'etzem a sheer? So the assumption seems to be that be'etzem is some type of sheer, that it's not just practicality.
According to so Yehuda moved that to Rav in the last Gemara, and now agrees Mitzvos Lavayanos didn't
do. So that's a major discussion. Does everyone assume? Do we assume it's not a machlokas? Meaning, does everyone agree that Mitzvos Lavayanos didn't do, or maybe Mitzvos Lavayanos didn't do? And because that was what the Gemara clearly was assuming at the beginning.
And it's the same Amora.
And same Amora. Yeah, I think there's a Girsa question over there, whether it is.
But the Girsa
Gemara
is Rav Yehuda.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, meaning, right, that's the discussion. So, Amar Rava, Amudra Anam Mechaver, Amutu would call it Kirshal Mitzvah. So let's say you have a neder, you're not going to get an off from somebody else. So you can have him blow the shofar for you. Amudra Anam is shofar, Amutu would call it Kirshal Mitzvah. Right, again, point is that you're not allowed to get Hana'ah, but you're allowed to get a Mitzvah, because a Mitzvah is not Hana'ah. Amar Rava, Amudra Anam Mechaver, Mazel of Mechatos, B'yimos HaGesham, Mavlo B'yimos HaChama. That if someone is you're not allowed to get anah from somebody, so you can sprinkle mechatos on you when it's cold and it's annoying to have mechatos sprinkled on you. But if it's hot outside and it's going to be geshmak, it's like running through the sprinklers. So that's going to be hana'ah, and that's going to be a problem. So all of a sudden we see an exception to mitzvahs avayanos. That there's no hana'ah in the mitzvah unless there is. Meaning unless you're actually enjoying it. If you're physically enjoying it, apparently that is called hana'ah. Hamudra Anami Mayan, you took a neder that you're not going to get enough from Mayan, Tobu Botil Shemitzvah, Bimosak Hashem, Mavlo Bimosak Hama. So if you go to the Ariz Mikvah in January, right? Good. So then it's not a Vayyah. Even though you took a neder, you're not going to get Hana from it. Perfectly fine. As long as it's a Tfilah Shemitzvah. Let's assume it's a Tfilah Shemitzvah. You're going because you want to go on Harabayas or whatever. So it's a Tfilah Shemitzvah. But if it's in the summertime, or maybe it'll be Geshmak, you know, to cool off a little bit, then it's going to be awesome. Okay. So, how many examples do we have of mitzvahs of the Anasim? So, you have several examples in this Gemara, but let's just list the examples, because then when we go through the Klalim, it will be important to know what the examples are. There is a sugya in the Nedarim Daf Tes Ayin Beit, where the Gemara says that Nedarim are chal on a Dvar Mitzvah. And Rava says that if you say, let's say, Yeshiva Sukkah Alai, but if you were to say Hana'a Sukkah Salai, you'd be allowed to sit in it. Meaning, if you say Yeshiva Sukkah Alai, that I'm taking a neder not to be Yoshev B'Sukkah, the neder is going to be Chal, you're not allowed to sit in the Sukkah. For whatever reason, you got to look in the Ran and Dharma over there for the explanation. But if you say Hana'a Sukkah Alai, Hana'a Sukkah Alai, I'm not going to get Hana'a from the Sukkah, you're allowed to sit in the Sukkah on Sukkahs. Why? Mitzvah Avlehanasin, because Hana'a, and that's what the Gemara says. Because Mrs. Avlehanasin, it's not called that you're getting Hana'a from the Sukkah. Then we have our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, just parenthetically, very important Rashi over here. Right? What does Rashi say over here? Mrs. Avlehanasin, Leos Kumum Hana'a Elol Al Tzavareim Nitnu. Right? Rashi picks up on the philosophical tone of the Gemara and says, you know why mitzvah? The Gemara is not just telling you that kiyum mitzvah is not hana, but it's telling you why a kiyum mitzvah is not called hana, because a mitzvah is not here to give us pleasure. It's not here to give us hana. It's meant as an ol al tzavarehem. So does that mean you don't enjoy mitzvahs? You know, on the what's that podcast? The Meaningful People, right? You ever listen to them?
Yeah.
What's your favorite mitzvah? So what do people say? What they enjoy the most. Mitzvahs are very enjoyable. No? You don't have a favorite mitzvah? Some people, and it's not always Talmud Torah. We'll get to Talmud Torah. That is the Yom HaSitnu. Not everyone says Talmud Torah. It's a Pella, by the way. Not everyone says Talmud Torah. No? By far the most enjoyable mitzvah. But okay. But not everyone says Talmud Torah. People say other things also. right? Some people, I love sitting in the sukkah. It's so geschmack. It is when it's nice outside. It depends where you live, right? If you live in Florida, it's horrible. You know, it's like schmoiling, right? But if you live in, somewhere where it's a decent weather, in Eretz Yisrael, sukkah's time, you know, it's the best. Yerushalayim, at least, it's the best. It's the most beautiful time of the year. So Rav Meisha has a comment in the Dibros Moshe in the Nedarim. Who learns Dibros Moshe? Not me. Dibros Moshe is long and hard, and they say that Rav Meisha was he held that his sefer was Dibros Moshe. Meaning Dibros Moshe has letters that he happened to write when people asked him shaylos, but his sefer was Dibros Moshe. Rav Shechter said that when he got married, Rav Moshe gave him a wedding gift. He didn't bring it to the wedding with him, but he sent it with Rav Michal Shorkin too, because Rav Michal Shorkin used to learn Berei Meisha and used to come to attend Shiurim or Salvation. There was a group of people like that. There were people that hashkafically were not at all aligned with Rav Salvechik, but he was Salvechik. So like, he was the best magachir of the generation. So they wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to go hear, to go hear Shiur from him. So if you ask someone like Rav Michal Shorkin, if you ask Rav Aaron Kahn, who are you rebbeim? We'll say my rebbe in learning is Rav Salvechik, my rebbe in hashkafa is whatever, somebody else. You know, there were people that didn't shtel tzu to Rav Salvechik's whole malach hachayim, but they connected very much to his learning. So as they're saying, oh, so Rav Michal Shorkin, Ramesha sent Rav Michal Shorkin that's 3 volumes of his svarim to bring to Rav Shechter as a wedding gift. So it was 2 volumes of the Idris Moshe and 1 volume of the Dibros Moshe. And Ramesha inscribed the volume of the Dibros Moshe, as an Os Matan or whatever, in Nishkin Mabracha. So he inscribed the volume of the Dibros Moshe. Why did he inscribe the volume of the Dibros Moshe? Because that's his sefer. That's the sefer that he wrote. The Dibros Moshe is just, someone asked him questions, so he wrote the language. But he answered the questions. But the Dibros Moshe, so why is it that everyone learns Dibros Moshe and no one learns Dibros Moshe? Because the Dibros Moshe you can read and sit down for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, and you can get an Igros Moshe. Rav Simon used to tell us, when I was in his early mission shiur in YU, Simon used to say, if you ever have a day where you have 12 hours to really, really break your head, it's kedai to go through one piece in Dibros Moshe. But that's what he said. Like, the Dibros Moshe was all over the place. It was like a whole maracha. Everything was, I don't know if you chap, that's what we said, Rav Razer said the other night, that on Rav Moshe's Matzeva, it's like a Dibros Moshe that's written such a long, that's why he said Dibros Moshe, not Igros Moshe, because the Dibros are very, very, so anyway, so my brother is married to my sister-in-law is a great-granddaughter of Moshe, so my brother became very mekusher to Rav Moshe's Torah, so in my brother's Sefer, Nesiach Buchkech, my brother has a Sefer on Kolei Mitzvahs, chapter on Mitzvahs on there, Aziz Makdim the Mitzvahs, on Mitzvah Bayos and Shulcha, like each of these column related to Mitzvahs. So in his Sefer, he quotes from the Dibros Moshe in the Dharm Simon Tezvav, where he says, the Pashup Shat is that the Tachlis of the Mitzvah is not at all the Hana'ah. The Hana'ah you get from it is the Mal V'lo Marit. But he says, El Iker Hatam. He says, that's the simple explanation, is that the hana'ah that you get from the mitzvah is not considered hana'ah as far as the surah hana'ah is concerned, meaning similar to kol marav reich ein ben mishum mi'ila. Because what does it mean, kol marav reich ein ben mishum mi'ila? Mi'ila means you're not allowed to get hana'ah from hekdesh. So why am I allowed to get hana'ah from the sights of hekdesh or the smells of hekdesh? Right? Or the sounds of Hegdish. That's okay. People enjoy sounds a lot. People pay a lot of money to go to concerts to hear sounds. People enjoy sights a lot. People spend their entire Sunday going to art exhibits. People do that in order to see beautiful things. So what does it mean? That's not called getting enough from Hegdish. Elamai, because it's a hana shein bo mamish, doesn't halachically qualify as a hana. And that's a simple pshat. The mitzvah sav leomus nitnu. The mitzvah may be geshmak, it may be very enjoyable, but it doesn't halachically qualify as a hana. That's al derech hapshat. However, says Ramesh in the Dibros, that from Rashi it doesn't sound that way. When Rashi says that it's lo'ol al tzavareyim nitnu, what does he mean? What's Rashi trying to tell us? So I'll read you the words of Ramesh. Dekivan de la ol nitnu, him anusim bikiyuma. Since it's given to us as an ol, we don't have a choice in the matter. Right, a mitzvah, people often mistranslate the word mitzvah. It's one of the biggest avlos in the English translation of the Hebrew language. People say mitzvah, how do they say in English? A mitzvah is a
commandment.
Well, most people will say a good deed. A mitzvah is not a good deed. A mitzvah is, like you correctly translated, a commandment. It comes from mitzvah. You are commanded to do it. A mitzvah is not a good deed. A good deed is something that you volunteer. We are anusim b'kiyumei a mitzvah, says Rav Moshe. It is an absolute commandment. V'davka l'kavona zu l'kayim gzeiras melech. It's to be mekayim, the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'kara tachas olo, and to be nichna under his ol, to be humbled by the ol that Hashem is giving us. Tzorech adam lasos a mitzvah. V'lo mitzad ha'anos ha'na'as o lasos etzam adav shem istaveh. It's not because of the joy that we take in being able to do the mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you do it because Hashem said, and that's your job, and that's why you're put on this earth, to listen to what Hashem says. Umitzvas ha'ava, what is the mitzvah of ava? Ava Hashem. Hu le'ov es Hashem yisparach alokeinu, shu malkeinu v'adoneinu, to love Hashem, who is our king and our master, asher biyado anachnu, that we're in his hands, v'u'osi itanu tzedakah v'chesed, v'avu b'chaleis, v'chal shal yolam, and he does so many good things for us. Shebishvil zen, yeh gam smeichim ba'ol, d'kim ha-mitzvah shetzivanu, me'achadol, me'ashem yisparach malkeinu. Meaning, the joy that we get in mitzvahs is a function of the fact that we love Hashem so much, and that we appreciate Hashem so much, and that we're so lucky to have this connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not the mitzvah that I enjoy, it's the opportunity to serve Hashem, and what the mitzvah represents, and the mitzvah represents service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the hana'ah one gets from the mitzvah. Shalchein mekavl anachol b'kim mitzvosov gam ba'av. So my brother points out that nimtzol l'pirusha comes out according to Rav Moshe, that the entire Ava became a mitzvah is only because of the all. But the Ikur Kim is only because of the all. So it could be that by Hanas Hagof it's also because of the it would also be included in the Heter of Mitzvah Ben Asir, which we'll get to later. But the point is, what Ramos is trying to say is that whatever Hana'ah one gets from being Mekayim a mitzvah, the joy that you take from being Mekayim a mitzvah is not in the Etzem a mitzvah. It's in the relationship that you have with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the fact that this mitzvah is representative of the all that you constantly have, the all that you have from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, then we have other examples. Right, we said Mudra Nami Mayan. You can be Tavol Tefillah for mitzvah, be Mosek Shem, not be Mosek Ham, because the Mosek Shem there's a Hanas Haguf, so we don't apply mitzvah of the Hanas. There's a Mishnah Nedarim. Hamudra anan mechavero, melamdo medrash halachos vaagadlos. Nedarim lamed hem and beis. I'm not allowed to get hana'ah from somebody, but he could teach me all sorts of Torah. He could teach me halachos vaagadlos medrash. Why? Says the Ran. A nedarim mitzvah. Love the honest nitnu. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, so he's going to teach me Torah. So that's mitzvah. Love the honest nitnu. The Mishnah in the third parak of Erevin. Let's keep track of all the examples. I don't know how many we're up to. The Mishnah in the third parak of Erevin, the beginning of the third parak of Erevin, you can put an Erev Tchumin in a Beis HaKvaros. What's an Erev Tchumin? Really, the halach is Tchum Shabbos, you're only allowed to travel 2,000 miles outside of your city. But I want to go to, there's a Chashev, a Rosh Yeshiva, that's going to be giving a shir 3,000 miles out of the city. It's not my example, it's a Mishnah's example. Right? The Chacham is Baleir, and the Chacham is coming 3,000 miles in that direction. So I want to be able to attend this year. So I put an Erev Tchumen that will make that my center of gravity, so to speak. That will become my Makom Shvisa. And then I'll have 2,000 miles from there as opposed to 2,000 miles from where I am right now. So you could put an Erev Tchumen in a Beis HaKvaros. Ah, but you're not allowed to get Hanav from Beis HaKvaros. Now let me Mishtamish Beis HaKvaros. Yeah, you could still put the Erev there. Because you're only allowed to be Ma'ariv with the Dvar Mitzvah. Meaning you're not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen if it's not for the sake of a Dvar Mitzvah. So since you're only allowed to be Ma'ariv with Dvar Mitzvah, so the Erev is considered a Mitzvah. The benefit you're getting from the Erev is a benefit of a Mitzvah, is that you're benefiting, that you're able to now hear the Shir from the Chacham, you're now able to whatever do whatever Mitzvah you want to do. So Mitzvah Sal Le'am, that's how the Mepharshim explained the Mishnah over there. Yevamos Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rava. Rav says, Yivamas Kuf Gimel Beis. You do chalitza besandals shalavodazar. Chalitza is besandals with a shoe, right? Do we still do chalitza b'zman hazeh? Yes, absolutely. Every Beis Din has a chalitza shoe. It's this funny looking boot kind of shoe. They just did one on the fifth floor of Gluck in YU a couple of months ago. Every once in a while, it's always sad. Whenever there's a chalitza, it's sad. It's either sad because someone died so young and they didn't have children when they died, and that's why the wife needs a chalitza, or so sad because someone died so old, and even so old, didn't have any children throughout their entire life. So it's always sad. Chalitza is a very sad situation. But it happens sometimes. So if you have a sandal, shalav al dazar, so the sandal is also by mahar, chalitza's kosher b'diavim, says Rashi, mitzvah slav lehamas livim. Another example, sukkah lamed aleph and beis. Amar Rava, you took a lulav shalav al dazar, kosher b'diavim, says Rashi, ayet yisurei hana, mitzvah slav lehamas livim. And it says Rashi, kolomar ein kiyum mitzvos hana'as haguf, Ela avodas eved l'rabo. Again, all tzavaro. Avodas eved l'rabo. The mitzvah, the hana'a that you get from doing a mitzvah, it does feel good, and it is geshmak to do a mitzvah. But the geshmak that you're getting from the mitzvah is not, it does not qualify as typical hana'a. It's a reflection of our relationship. So those are pretty much the examples. The Ritva raises the following question in Masechta Sukkah. He says, L'chora, a person does get hana from doing the mitzvah. And not only that, you get schar in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. So isn't that hana? If someone paid you $100 to do something, it's not called hana? You're getting hana from doing the mitzvah. So he says the Ritva, why is that not hana? You're getting schar in this world and the next world. So why is that called that you're not getting hana? So says the Ritva, Lo chashid isur v'isur yana elekshenena begufo shal isur. That you're only in violation of an isur anah when you're getting anah from the item itself, from the actual isur. Avol kol she'in anah begufo v'shagor melanah v'revach mimokam acher. You know, it could, let's say you have to clean your room. Your mom tells you, clean your room. You don't like cleaning your room. You're perfectly happy with the way it is. But let's say, it's not just your mom that tells you to clean your room. When my kids were younger, my wife's grandfather used to come every once in a while. He lived in Detroit, and he would come and he would just throw around cash like it was nobody's business. He would just give money for everything, right? So Super Zadie's coming, you're going to be a richer man by the end of that day. When Super Zadie was coming, call him Super Zadie. Super Zadie passed away from Corona, unfortunately. But when Super Zadie was coming, everyone was going to, you know, make a lot of money. The adults made a lot more money than the kids. Isn't that nice? All right, so Super Zadie came. So the kids would like Dafka mess up the basement or whatever, because Super Zadie would come to the basement. This is a mess. I'll give you $100 if you clean it up. You know, so they clean it up and they make $100 to clean it up. So you have to make a mess in as many places as possible. So is it that they love cleaning up so much? They don't love cleaning up so much. Haraya, they never clean up when Super Zadie's not there. Elamai, they enjoy the $100 that they're going to get at the end. You know, they're going to enjoy all the cash that they get at the end. So says the Ritva, Hana'a, when there's something that's in Israel, Hana'a means you're not going to get an hour from it. But Hana that's going to come, Mimakom Acher, Gurush Baruch is going to pay me in Schar afterwards. It's nice, and I get Hana from the Schar that Hashem is going to pay me. But I'm not getting Hana from it, from the mitzvah. Says the Ritva, when you go to a mikvah, in order to be matara yourself, you're going to be able to eat. You're going to be able to eat a whole bunch of things. You're going to need. You're going to be able to eat things matara. You know, if you're a kohen, you're going to be able to eat truma matara. You're going to be able to eat kachin. You're going to be able to access places you couldn't access. Life is going to be better for you, but that's not from the mikvah. That's not from the mayan. Oh, but when you're boiling hot and it's a hot day and there's no air conditioning and there's a cool mayan that you can cool off in, that's hanah from the Guf Hadavar. That's how the Ritva writes. Now the Chasam Sofer has an unbelievable twist. Mechulim Daf Pei Tes. Chasam Sofer says that, yeah, a person gets hanah when he does the mitzvah. Why? The hanah from the mitzvah, there is an inherent hanah in the mitzvah. Because you're doing Tzivoy Hashem. And that's not from your... Schar is Mimakam Acher. Right, you can say like the schar comes from somewhere else. But what if you actually enjoy being Ovid Hashem? So you actually enjoy doing the mitzvah. So it says Chasam Sofer. But if you have a Nisra Hana on this item, you know what else would be Tzivay Hashem? if you didn't use it. That would also be a fulfillment of Tzivi Hashem, because now you're fulfilling the Nadav. So he says, that goes either way. You know, whatever you're supposed to do, that's going to give you the geshmak. When you know what the halacha is, you can get the same geshmak from doing it that you would from not doing it. If you'd be monea milkayim ha-mitzvah b'davar asr v'anah, you'll have a simcha gedola v'anah rabba in that you're mekayim the mitzvah to asr this item and to not get anah from it. So since bein kach, you're getting anah, there's no more anah from one from the other. Oh, so then mitzvah zaldeh must be. That's what some sufferers, twist on things. Say that
again.
Say one more time. Says that, but how can you say love the Rosin? I'm getting Hana from the fact that I'm serving Hashem. So he says, yeah, but if it was Asr Bahana, then you'd get Hana from the fact that you're not doing it, because that's how you serve Hashem. You serve Hashem by not doing it. As a Chsam Sofer in Chulun Daf Peitas. But what about mitzvahs that have Hana as Hakol? Right? So our Gemara seems to make a clear exception. Yeah.
Just with the love. How does that fit in with just like what the words
seemingly
mean? That love
hinnos,
like it's not. It
that the
like,
mitzvah itself is not hana, but if you get hana from somewhere else, say lechanami. But that's not the mitzvah. Now, let's see. There's so many topics to cover here. Just trying to figure out which one to cover. Okay, let's do it like this. The Gemara in the Dharm Tesov and Beis tells us that a person is allowed to say Konam Hana'as Tashmishai Alecha. Married man tells his wife, I am imposing a Nedr Hana on you. That's a Konam Alecha. I am imposing a Nedr Hana on you that you're not allowed to get Hana from my Tashmish. Now he has a mitzvah's ona in the Torah. He has to be with his wife. It's a mitzvah's ona. So even though he's meshubah to his wife, mitzvah zona, for some reason he's allowed to do that. Okay, with the Ran over there explains why he's allowed to do that. The Chori shouldn't be allowed to do that. You can't be masal mashkas b'tori. You can't take a neder against what it says in the Torah. Why in the world he's allowed to do that? Ayin Ran Sham Tesvavim Beis in Nedar. Not Patapei Rif on the actual Gemara, because Ran's on the side of the Gemara and Masach Nedar. You know that part from Rav Soloveitchik? It's not a part, it's Pashup Shat. In the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, there's one line in the Kinos where we say, Mi Yatir Lanu Nidareinu, Mi Yafir Lanu Nizirusenu. Like it's a tekina for the loss of Bali Atosos, the death of the woman of Bali Atosos. And we say, Oy Vey, who's going to do Ataris Nidarim for us now? Who's going to do Hafaris Nizirus for us now when we have to undo our Nizirus? Without Bali Atosos, how are we going to handle that? Well, what? That's what, I mean, take three hadiyot. How do you do a Teres Adarm now? You just grab three people and you do a Teres Adarm. It's a big deal. So they said, you have to understand poetry. They're not describing a Teres Adarm and being Matan Nazirus. What they're describing is the two Masechtas and Shas that don't have Rashi. The Dorim and Ozir don't have Rashi. So we rely heavily on the Bali Atosos to learn the Dorim and Ozir. So with the loss of the Bali Atosos, who's going to be matar? Who's going to help us unravel Maseches Nedarim? Who's going to help us understand Maseches Nazir? It's Pashup Pshat, right? Meaning, once you hear it, it's clearly what they mean. They're not saying like we need Bali Atosos to do Ataris Nedarim, but that's how poetry works. That's what they're describing. It's just, you know, it's a lot of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah in general. I mean, this isn't really a classic example of Soloveitchik's Torah, but a lot of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, Rabbi Hecht used to tell us in 11th grade. That like after he would say, he'd be like, of course, like obviously, you know, like once he said the chiddush, it didn't seem like a chiddush anymore. Like especially at the yard site shiur, he'd ask like 12 questions. He'd be like, oh my gosh, nothing makes sense. You know, like that's it. You know, like, none of this makes sense. And then he'd say yisod, and it's like everything makes sense. the whole world makes sense all of a sudden. And then you get to the stages, like the five stages of, of salvation. Then you get to the point of like, it's so obvious. Why does no one else think of it? And then you get to the point of, I think I thought of it. I think I did that the whole time. You know, so like there are like these different, so the Ran in the Dharam raises a question. Why is it when you say Konam Anos Tashmishi Alecha that it becomes Asur B'Tashmish Mitzvah Zavle Anos Nitnu? It's not hana, it's a mitzvah. So he says, no, t'chiyah min mitzvah al ha'eretz tidu hani bin lomar shein kiyum ha'mitzvah s'chashv hana'ah. The fulfillment of a mitzvah is not called hana'ah. Aval mikol makom im is hani gufei b'hadi d'mekayim mitzvah. But if you're getting a physical pleasure while doing the mitzvah, hana'ah mikri, that's called hana'ah. So it could be that the kiyum ha'mitzvah, the fact that you're fulfilling a mitzvah is not called hana'ah. But if you happen to be getting hana'ah also, I would love to go swimming anyway. People do it as a leisurely activity. They go swimming on hot days and they enjoy it. And it happens to be I'm also becoming tar from that. The fact that I'm becoming tar is not hana. But swimming is still hana. Cooling your body off is still hana. And that's how the Rambam explains the Gemara Rashana about the Mayan. That's what he says. Because it's hana saguf. When it's a hot day, it's hana saguf. And that is hana. So that's Pashup Shat Lachar in our Gemara, no? That when you go to the mikvah on a cold day, there's no hana, because all you're getting is the fact that you're being mekayim a mitzvah. When you go to the mikvah on a hot day, there is hana, because it's physical hana, yeah? The Rashba and the Darim ask the same kasha that the Ran asks. Why is the neder chal when you say hana is tashmishe alai? I, mitzvah of them, sitnu. And he says, no, this mitzvah is eino ala machmasa, velo machmaso. He's meshum betuza isha. When you say anos tashmishcha alai, he's being pokeh the shibud. There's no mitzvah that's mechayv. He has some sort of complicated answer, which forgetting then he asks, you're still mitzvah and puravu. So why is the neder chal? It's a neder against the mitzvah. So he said, no, puravu could be with another woman. It doesn't have to be with this woman. Meaning, the point I'm trying to make is what the Rashba doesn't do is just give the simple answer that the Ran gave. I mean, the Rashba was bothered by the same kasha the Ran asked. The Ran said, Pashut, there's such an obvious yisod over here. That if you're, the mitzvah is not hana, the hana is hana, the physical hana is hana. And the Rashba doesn't give that answer. So from the fact that the Rashba asked the same kasha as Ran, doesn't answer what the Ran says, that when there's hana, saguf, together with the mitzvah, that it's asir, says the Avnei Miluvim, and the Maritz Chiyus in the back of Masechet Nedarim, and apparently, according to the Rashba, there's no chiluk. Right? The Maritz Chiyus writes over there, he quotes the Ran, Dibra Maslava Minator, Meshabilov, Yim Tomar, Mrs. Avi Anasitnu, Yesh Lomar, Dizah, Avi Anasagov, Padai. Near Be'enai, says the Maritz Chiyus, Ulam Birashba T rates the Afshulkai Bruvu Bishacheres. Umashma Duhu Svirulay, the Afanasagov, Padai, Amir Mitzvah Avi Anasitnu. That even when you're getting physical pleasure, we still say Mitzvah Avi Anasitnu. So even when there's an Anas HaGof, it's included in Mitzvah Zav Le'Anas. So what's going to be the Kasha on the Rashba? Oh, yeah, how do you explain our Gemara? How do you explain the Gemara Rosh Hashanah? What do you do about the Mayan? So that's the Kasha on the Rashba.
We say the same thing by the second Tosfos, that Rami Tosfos
do. Yeah, that's right.
He's saying the same thing as the Rashba.
Oh, I told you to do it. I didn't look at it myself. So I don't think he's saying the same episode.
Mashmalan, that even when you use a shofar or a mayan, you still don't get enough.
That it's still mutter.
Yeah, you don't make
it still. So I don't think he's dealing with he's not dealing with the chilek between that which is physically enjoyable and that which is not physically enjoyable. Right? He's trying to. The Shiloh that he's bavorning over here is like, why give this example after you've already given me examples of this is all that?
Right, because then you would have the havmina that
shofar. So over here, it's so directly on the mitzvah. You took a neder on a shofar, right? That's a mitzvah, as opposed to a neder on you as a person. You're not a mitzvah. You happen to be blowing a shofar for me, so then it becomes relevant. But if you take a neder on a shofar, that really sounds like you're taking the neder on the mitzvah itself, and that's the extra chiddush. But not about. He's not discussing the issue of a mayan that you enjoy in the summertime in the Mayan that you don't enjoy in the wintertime.
So, Kamashalan, What's a
Kamash Malan? Kamash Malan, the mitzvah applies even when the lashon of the neder was on the mitzvah. Like you were so specific.
On the
shofar. Meaning, when you take a neder, I'm not allowed to get an anah from you. Right? So you do all sorts of things. You might open the door for me. You might, I don't know, you might when you're going out to town, you might buy something for me. I'm giving you ideas. But, you know, like, there are all sorts of different things you could do for me. One of those things, you might be able to blow shofar for me. So I didn't target the mitzvah.
Right, but
come
as long
even when I target the mitzvah.
Let's say Rebbe enjoys one of the things that I do from you. That's how else I go.
But that's not what he's, that's not his point. I don't think. So the Avnei Miluim points out that the Shara Melech already asked this kasha on the Rashba. That how's the Rashba going to understand our Gemara? And he says that the Rokeach writes in the name of the Me'iri, and all this is part of the Meretz Chayes, that the Isra to be Tovel, Bimos HaChama, is because of the Hanoah that you get after the Mitzvah. Meaning, physical hanah that you get during a mitzvah is still mitzvah lav lehemes nitni. When you go to a cold mayan on a hot summer's day, you get hanah after the mitzvah. Mepnei she'achar shenitar nena achar asiyas mitzvah. Now, what's the machlokas Rashba and Ran, whether mitzvah lav lehemes nitni applies to hanah sagov pekima mitzvah? Meaning, what's the nekudas machlokas over here? What are they arguing about? Whether... Meaning, again, they're arguing, if I get physical hana'ah from doing the mitzvah, is that called hana'ah? The Ran says, yes, that's hana'ah. The fact that I'm getting schar, that's not hana'ah. The fact that I feel connected to Hashem, that's not hana'ah. But the fact that my body's being cooled off, the fact that I'm enjoying the shade of the sukkah, that is hana'ah. Maybe shade of the sukkah is a bad example for other reasons, but that is hana'ah. Whereas Rashba says, no, none of it's hana'ah. It's only if you get hana'ah when the mitzvah's over. Only that's called hana'ah. What's the nekudas hamachlokas? Says the Maariv Tzvi, is two possibilities. The idea that when you do a mitzvah that gives physical enjoyment, that you're going to enjoy it, is very similar to the concept that we have in Hilchos Shabbos and in all of halacha called psikresha. What's psikresha? I'm not trying for that, I'm trying for this. But it happens to be, that's what's going to happen. Automatically, that's what's going to happen. Right? On Shabbos, I'm not trying to kill the chicken, I just want to give my kid something to play with. So a chicken's head is his toy of choice. Probably consult the therapist about that, but you know that's what he enjoys playing with. So I cut off the chicken's head. So mele, the chicken is going to die. It says in Maariv Tzvi, it could be that the Rashba holds that we don't say the din of sekresha be'isurayana. So, memela, when you're mechavin to be mekayim a mitzvah, and you're not having any kavah for hana'as haguf, even though it's impossible to avoid the hana'as haguf, that's not called an issur. Because you're not doing hana'as haguf, you're doing a mitzvah. Aye, but hana'as haguf is going to happen automatically. It's like a davar sheni miskavin on Shabbos, you know, where it's mutter. You know, you do a davar sheni miskavin on Shabbos, even though the malacha might actually happen, but it's mutter. Because we pretend the malacha didn't happen because you weren't trying for it. And there's no principle of psikresha when it comes to outside of Hilchos Shabbos. That's what one possibility Maariv Tzvi says. And the Ran disagrees and says psikresha applies everywhere, just like it applies in Hilchos Shabbos. Interesting, huh? Interesting way of looking at things. Pashtus is, if anything, by Shabbos you need malachas machshavas. Right? By Shabbos things have to be more purposeful in order for it to be... a problem. Okay, but anyway, that's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Rashba holds like Tosfos and Pesachim, that when your Iker Asiya is Litzorach Mitzvah, when your primary focus and purpose is Litzorach Mitzvah, it's not called a Maisa Shel Hanah. And the Ran holds that the Iker Asiya is L'Hanah Saguf, and the Mitzvah is Memela. Meaning this question of what when you're going to enjoy something and get a Mitzvah from it, what are you really doing? Are you doing a mitzvah and it's like, oh, and I like it? Or are you doing something you like and you're like, and I get a mitzvah? And it's all about what your Iker Kavana is. But the Rashba assumes that your Iker Kavana is the mitzvah and the Hanah is just Bam Mela. And the Ran assumes, no, if you're getting Hanah from it, the Iker Kavana is the Hanah. Yeah. There's a Rav Shimon that I didn't fully understand. So maybe I won't say it. This is Rishimin Shka. It explains the Machlokes Rav and the Rashba a little bit differently. Let's skip that. Because there is something else I want to go to. The Balamar over here in Rosh Hashanah is Mechadesh. And now, if you saw the Ran, you saw the citation of the Balamar. The Balamar is Mechadesh over here in Rosh Hashanah. That mitzvah Savayanus is only by Kiyum mitzvah Minatova, not by Kiyum mitzvah Simit Rabbana. So if you mudra anam Mechadero, he could blow a shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, because shofar shel Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah midoraisa, so that's not called getting hana. But can he blow chatzotzos for you on a tainus? Says Balamar, no, because that's called that you are getting hana when he blows chatzotzos for you on a tainus, because that's not minatora. So says the Ran, ulefi divrei haraz alevi, according to that Balamar, even by tkiyos Rosh Hashanah, you should be metaktik, because some of them are derabbanan. He says, Elamai, the Balamar is not right anyway. He's incorrect anyway. But he says, it would turn out that according to the Balamar, the first 10 tekios, that's what the guy that you mudra know from is allowed to blow for you. But after that, he's not, because then it's only a mitzvah midrabbanan, it's not a mitzvah daraisa anymore. And for mitzvah midrabbanan, mitzvah sarli almost didn't do. It's considered that you're getting anah.
Would the 30 not be considered
daraisa? So, okay, that's the question. Right, I mean, it's all part of the question. Pashas is not, right? So what's pshat? What's pshat in that Balamar? Why is it that mitzvahs midrabanan would be considered lehanos din and mitzvahs daraisa are not lehanos din? What would be the difference between mitzvahs daraisa and mitzvahs
rabbanan? Is that like the consorts about din of darabanan are
Nesivis.
So
no, say.
So if Nesivis says that for mitzvahs darabanan, it's only a mitzvah on the guf. It's on the gavras there. Not the chafza. Meaning it's not inherently if there's an esser derbanan for a non-kosher piece of food, it's not that it's inherently esser, it's that you can't eat it.
So let's play this out, right? There's a famous nesivus in Reish Lamed Daled, where the nesivus says that, I mean, the way the nesivus is said over, I don't say these words exactly, but you know, it's what he's saying. The Nesivus talks about the following case. The Shulchan Aruch over there talks about, let's actually say what it actually says. No, we'll get to it. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the following case. I went to a store and I bought food. And the food happens to, I ate lunch. Delicious! Then I find out the food wasn't kosher. So, can I demand a refund? I paid $22 for my steak and chicken salad at Dougie's yesterday. I paid $22 for a steak and chicken salad, you know, and then I discover that the lettuce was full of bugs, the steak was nevela, the chicken was trefus, whatever. Can I go back, Doug? I want my $22 back. And they'll say to me, are you hungry? No, I'm not hungry. I ate the steak and chicken salad. I finished every last bite, but I'm not hungry. All right, so you got your money's worth, right? So who's right? Can I get my money back, or can I not get my money back? Says the Shulchan Aruch, if the Isurim that I consumed were Isurim Daraisa, I can get my money back. But if whatever I consumed is an Isur Darabanan, I can't get my money back. Why? So the Nesivus explains that if you do an Isur Daraisa B'Shogeg, you did an Isur. It's an Isur Daraisa B'Shogeg, but you did an Isur. And I can therefore say, I was trying to do something that was a Dvar Rishos, or maybe even a Dvar Mitzvah, not a Dvar Isser, and you made me do a Dvar Isser, I want my money back, and then I'm right. But when you do an Isser Drabam and B'Shogeg, it's not a Dvar Isser. Because you didn't know, it's not a Dvar Isser at all. It's as if you didn't do any Isser, and then Mela, I can't ask for my money back. I had lunch, I'm full, and I didn't do any Aveira. An Avera Drabavan B'Shogeg, says the Nesivus, is not an Avera B'Chlal. So the way they touch up the Nesivus, why not? Why is an Avera Drabavan B'Shogeg not an Avera? So the way they say the Nesivus is, you know, in the Darim, the difference between Neder and Shavua, right? There's a chilik between Isurei Gavra and Isurei Chavtza. So the Brisker is like, went crazy with this, right? Yeah, everything is a chilik between Isurei Gavra and Isurei Chavtza and this and that, right? But what the Nesivus is saying is, what about every other, you know, other than Neder and Shavua and Nedava, whatever, right? Other than that, everywhere else in the Torah, are things assumed to be in Issur Gavra, or are they assumed to be in Issur Chavtza? So he says, a klal. All Issurei Torah are Issurei Chavtza, all Issurei Drabanan are Issurei Gavra. What does Nisr Chefza mean? The way Moreno Rav Shechter likes to explain it, Yisur Chefza means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria characteristics of Isur in this item. That when Hashem made the pig, Hashem made characteristics of Isur in the pig. When it comes to Yisur Drabbanan, when Hashem made the Bria, there's nothing wrong with it. There are no characteristics of Isur. So why do I have to observe the Dinim Drabbanan? Because Mitzvah Lashma Divrei Chachamim. I have a responsibility to do what my Rebbe tells me. I have a responsibility to do what the Chum tell me. But there's nothing wrong inherently with it. The item itself is fine. I have a responsibility to listen to my Rebbe. That's the difference. So says the Nesivus, when I violated Mr. Dar Raisa, Bishogeg, I ate something that's inherently Aser. I did the Iser. When I do an Issur Drabbanan b'shogeg, the whole din of following any Issur Drabbanan, of following any din Drabbanan, is listen to the rabbis. I didn't disobey the rabbis, I was shogeg. If you didn't disobey the rabbis, you didn't violate Issur Drabbanan. That's the definition of every Issur Drabbanan, is rebellion against rabbinic authority. So I didn't rebel against rabbinic authority, because it was shogeg. So now, which Judah wants to tie in a... Then maybe that's the explanation of the Balamar. So now we got to see if it follows through, right? What does the Balamar say? Mitzvah Slav Leham applies to Din Dar Raisa. Because I may be getting Hana'a from this item, from this mitzvah, but this item that I'm getting Hana'a from is inherently a mitzvah. And therefore, it's not called Hana'a. Because it is a mitzvah. Whereas when I'm doing a mitzvah drabbanan, the item's not a mitzvah. I happen to have a relationship with Chazal that says that I'm going to listen to them, so that's the mitzvah. But this item's not a mitzvah. There's nothing in this chefza that's a mitzvah. This item, you know what it is? It's hana'a. I'm getting hana'a from it. But I'm not getting a mitzvah from it, inherently. And maybe you can say mitzvahs came lehanos when it comes to drabbanan. Rav Shimon Shkap probably says that. I don't understand anything in Shari Yosher, but to the extent that I do, in Shari Sfeikas Perek Zayin, he might say that. The Shari Yosher was written by Rav Shimon Shkap, but it wasn't really written by Rav Shimon Shkap. Rav Shimon Shkap was a terrible writer. He was a huge Talmid Chacham, he was not a very clear writer. So he hired one of his Talmidim to come live with him for a year or two and to write the Shari Yosher. That Talmud was Rosh Yeshiva in Tera V'das later on in his life. It was Rav Shechter's father-in-law. Rav Shechter's father was the Talmud that went to live by Rav Shimon and wrote the whole Shari Yosha. I think the Maisa goes there, Baruch Ber saw the Shari Yosha. He was so excited by it, he asked him to come live by him to write. He's like, no, he couldn't do everything. But he was a very poetic writer. What was his name? Rav Shapira, Rav Shapira's father. He's very, very poetic, right? Rav Shapira says, too poetic, it's so flowery, I don't know what he's talking about half the time. But he wrote very, very beautifully. Okay. There is a discussion whether mitzvah stav lehamasitin means you're even allowed to do it l'chachila. Like, can you take a shofar? I have a nedra, no, I'm not allowed to get hanah from this shofar. And I have two shofars in front of me. Can I use it? Can I use this one? The one that I have nedra now? Is that even the chachila? Alright, there is a discussion about that. The Gemara says, Lulav Shalav Adzor, Li Yitol Vimnatal Kashim. Right? And same by a shofar. Shofar Shalav Adzor, you shouldn't do it, but if you do, it's kashim. So, does that mean that Bidiyeved, that it's only, it sounds like it's only Din Bidiyeved, that the chachila doesn't work. Elamai, it's not so pashut, right? Because what does Rashi say? No, Tosfos, someone says that it's a davar ma'os to do it. That's what the Rishonim right over here, right? So Rashi. No, he doesn't say it over here. But Rishonim all over say that it's because it's meals. Tosfos says? Tosfos and Sukkah says. Okay. Yeah, so they don't point out because it's Davar Malchus. Why do they have to say it's Davar Malchus? Just say you're not supposed to do it because it's kind of Hanah. No, it's not kind of Hanah. It's a mitzvah that was even the Chachila you're allowed to do it. Elamai, Avodah Zarah is Malchus. So you shouldn't use Avodah Zarah. The Avni Miluim quotes from the Rav HaMagia on the Mishnah Lamelech. There's no heter of mitzvah and it's also the chachilu the kadeshi should be surayana. But the Knesset Gedolah is chalik. I mean, it's all how you understand that line of Gemara. Then there's the big exception to mitzvah. We mentioned before the Ran explains, and this will end with like a kind of hashkafa. The Ran writes on the Mishnah Nedarim, Mudar Ana Mechaverim Alamdo Medrus Halachos Agados. And I'll get enough from him, but he could be my Rebbe. He could teach me all of Torah. Why? Mitzvah Slavdayam, says the Rabbi. However, Rabbeinu Avram min Ahar, in the Dharam and Chesem et al., asks on the Mishnah that it's Asul Mudar Anah to read Sifrei Tanakh. I would have a Mitzvah Slavdayam. And he says, because that din is only b'mitzvah shetluya b'maisa. That when a person does it, he's not miskabin l'dvar Hanah. He's not doing it for Anaz Gufo. He's doing it for the Tzivoy of Hashem. But mitzvahs limud, ikar ha-tzivoy, hu kidei letzayer ha-emes, u lehis-aneg, v'lehanos bimada l'sameach levava v'sichlo. Talmud Torah, says Rav Ram Minahar, is fundamentally different than every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah is that it's not given for Anah, it's la'ol al tzavareinu, it's to do what Hashem says. Talmud Torah is to experience this incredible ta'anug ruchani. This incredible, not even ruchani, this incredible ta'anug of having your brain enjoy the highest level of, you know, there's nothing that makes a person happier than when they feel they're maximizing their potential. When you do something that's easy for you, it's boring. The people who work at a job that's just like monotonous and they're just, you know, plugging in numbers and they're not really challenging themselves, they don't enjoy it. People enjoy is being challenged and stepping up to the challenge. Torah has a way of utilizing our brains and feeling like we're using our brains for the maximum purpose that it could be used for. Hilchah lo shayich lemeimar b'mitzvah Talmud Torah de lo nitnan lehanos, because that's the whole point of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And it's really Mefurish Hataz and Yerodeus and Mesh Chaval Simchat and Mem Gimel that by Limud Torah, a person has to have Simcha in the Limud Torah and get Hanar from the Torah, and there's no mitzvah of the Hamas Divin. And the most famous proponent of this idea, anyone know? The Aglei Tal. The Hakdama to the Aglei Tal, the Tzlakat Shavar Rebbe. Even if you don't read anything in the Aglei Tal because you're not learning Hilchot Shabbos yet or whatever, you got to read the Hakdama to the Aglei Tal. It's like required reading. And in the Hakdama to the Aglei Tal, he writes, but he says it even more strongly. He says, "Umide dabri." While I'm talking, "Zachar eskar mashashamati k'tas bnei adam tawin miderach haseichel." I've heard some people make a terrible mistake. Be'inyan limud Torah kedusha, when it comes to learning Torah, va'omru, and these people say, "Ki alomei mechadish chidushim v'sameach masani b'limudo." If you learn a mechadish chidushim and you're enjoying your limud, ain't that limud Torah kol kach l'shma? That's not Torah l'shma. Kimom hayolomid b'pshitos sheilomei limud shum tanim. You know what would be Torah l'shma? If you learn in the most boring way possible. If you learn in a way where you get no pleasure from it, you just read the words. Don't try to be mechadish anything, because if you're mechadish, you'll enjoy it. There's no tanim. And the only reason anyone in their right mind would ever learn that way is because they feel like they have a mitzvah to do it. That's Torah Lishma, people say. If you're enjoying your learning and you're mechadish and you're asking and you're answering and you're discussing and you're categorizing and you're doing all of those things that we do when we learn Be'iyun, if you're doing that, then mixed in with the mitzvah is also Hana'a. And that's not so much Torah Lishma. Ube emezet ta'us mefursam. This is a famous mistake. Va'adraba. Kizehi ikur mitzvahs limra Torah. That's what mitzvahs limra Torah is. The osas, the sameach, the mis'aneg b'limudo. Va'az divrei Torah nivloin b'domo. It becomes part of you. Umeachar shenana midivrei Torah hu nasa dovok la'Torah. And it's through the Hana from Divrei Torah that you become fully connected to Torah. Ubizora Kadosh. You're allowed to look it up because it's quoted by Ubizora Kadosh. Debein Yetzer Atov, Ubein Yetzer Hara. Listen to this. Einon Miskadlin Elamitoch Simcha. Both Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are nourished by Simcha. They thrive on Simcha. Yetzer Atov Miskadlin Mitoch Simcha Shal Torah, Yetzer Hara. Bechule. That's how he says. The Yetzer Tov is Miskadel through the Hanah of Torah, of Simcha Shal Torah, but Simcha is what brings up. So Rabbi Reisman was telling this yesterday. Productive people are positive. Positive people are successful. Right? They're not positive because they're successful. They're successful because they are positive. They're successful because they are happy. There's a wonderful book called The Happiness Advantage. Highly recommend if you're into reading secular books. The Happiness Advantage. People are not successful because they are happy. They're happy because people are not happy because they're successful. They're successful because they're happy. When you have happiness, that's what feeds your Yetzer Tov. You're going to tell me that Shalol Lishma, when you have Simcha, I'll call Panim Lishma v'Shalol Lishma. Or even if you're going to say that it's a mixture of Lishma v'Shalol Lishma, Hari Simcha zu on megareya koach mitzvah. Then you're going to say that the Simcha takes away from the koach mitzvah. Macha ora and it dims its light. Then how does it make the Yetzer HaTov stronger? If the Yetzer HaTov is made stronger through Simcha, then the Ikra Mitzvah is Simcha. I agree, he says, that if you're learning only because you find it intellectually stimulating, and you enjoy that, but for no other reason, that is Shalol Lishma, just like Ochel Matzah Shalol Lishma Mitzvah, Rak Hashem Tanag Achila. If you happen to be insane, and you just love eating matzah, and you think it's the most delicious food in the world, so that's also Shalol Lishma. And that's what we say, Lom Yasagov Nimtam is Shalol Lishma, Shem Tam Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma. But if you love the Shem Mitzvah, Umis Anik B'Limudo, but if you're doing it for the right reasons, and you enjoy it, Harez Limud Lishma, the Kulo Kodesh, Kigam Atavid Mitzvah. So, it's a major exception to mitzvahs of the Emissary. That Torah is Lehanos Nitna. Okay, there's obviously a lot more on this. We spend a week on this, but we'll stop it at that. Then on Sunday, I think we can get into Mitzvah Shiks Kavar. I think we'll cut out Kitu Zemachtas Shimei. We'll get into Bez Hashem, what should we call it? Mitzvah Shiks Kavar. Which also we could spend a week or two on. I'll give you a lot of Mar Makomos, Mr. Shiks Kavanah, for the next. Okay, so, all right. I got to run to the council sheet.
What time are we done, Nimil?